The Daily Talk Show, episode 62, Tommy Jacket. What's going on, mate?
I wanted to say 62. You got in. I was hoping you'd let me say it.
We had a low vibe yesterday.
Flat as fuck.
Apologies.
Can we call it?
Flat as fuck.
Can we go back and edit the episode and call it flat as fuck?
Let's do
nah,
that.
Probably wouldn't rank well having F in there.
No, that's true.
What's going on, baby?
Not much. Was watching a documentary.
As you do.
Yeah.
Because Josh hasn't seen a film. Don't ever get in a conversation about films.
Because I only watch non-fiction. Don't have time for fucking
But if you want
bullshit.
A recommendation of a doco, Josh is your guy.
Yeah, well, I don't remember the titles. But there was one, Take Your Pills, on Netflix at the moment, talking about all the ADD drugs.
You would have been, as a kid, that they said Josh might need to take some pills.
Well, I think I've told you before that my mum would use that as a constant threat. She said, if you don't fucking behave, I'm taking you to the doctors and we're getting you medded up. And I'd be like, no, you can't stop me. You can't settle me down. Like, I was really worried that it was going to fuck with me.
You would have been...
Yeah, like Ritalin, Adderall, all of these things.
I think it's big in America.
Yeah. But what's big in America eventually makes its way to here. Mm. And so, Take Your Pills, talking all about how these amphetamines, like Adderall and shit, I think they're amphetamines, I think that's what they were saying, they are used by students to stay focused.
Yeah, yeah. So they've got the... It's like Sudafed. It's got...
Like speed.
Well, it's got that in it, yeah.
Yeah.
So it helps... I wonder why they put it in there. It must... So when you've got like cold and flu tablets have Sudafed in it, which brings you up.
Yeah.
So you actually become a bit more lively when you've had some... Sudafed. So what they're saying, what are they just fucking having these so they can get focused and pump out work?
Yeah, so it's a common practice in like colleges and stuff. A lot of people will fake their, ADD to try and get it, for one. But also, there's a bit of a black market. So there's fucking Facebook groups where people are like, hey, selling some Adderall. But... What was interesting about it was near the end, so there was like fucking college football players using it, and they use it because you can get these exemptions. So as there was a chick who had an exemption who basically, I think Ritalin and Adderall both used for ADD, different sort of fucking chemicals.
Mm.
Maybe one's like a amphetamine, one's a methamphetamine or something. I think I may have fucked that up.
You probably fucked that up.
But basically, different strand, and you can get an exemption, and it's specific to your strand. So if
okay.
So what apparently happened with this one person was they took a they were prescribed Adderall, and they took Ritalin. One day or whatever, and then they piss into a thing, and then they come back as positive to the drug that they're not exempt to.
Yeah,
but where like college players are using these drugs is because it boosts your confidence in the sense of you will you'll run further, you'll fucking smash into people harder. It's good for focus, so you'll stay focused on the ball. Those types of qualities.
So they think it's like a super pill.
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, they're taking something, right? So they're thinking it's doing something. What is that, placebo effect?
Yeah, it's not a placebo effect, but it's actually something that's highly addictive. And so that's why it's a controlled substance. Because you fucking take it and it starts off as this, oh yeah, it's great, it's boosting shit. And then over a long period of time, it can create all of these other side effects, anxiety, all this sort of shit. But what was happening, we're talking about placebos, they did do a test where they basically, this was years and years and years ago, I think the 50s or something, they had all of this sort of the Adderall type, drug, the what's you know, the main ingredient of that, tested on a bunch of students, and also gave people like a placebo, like a control, whatever. Anyway, what they found was that the only thing that people ticked that was different was a heightened sense of confidence. So basically, what they were saying is, it doesn't make you fucking better at endurance. It doesn't make you a better fucking runner in the sense of
physically, it doesn't actually.
Yeah, physically, it doesn't do anything. It just gives you the confidence that you are better.
Okay.
So for me, I've been running 3 days in a row. Please stop.
Are you on Adderall?
No,
your energy's
up. I'm not on Adderall. I'm not on Adderall. But I've been doing the experiment where I tell myself, "You've just taken it. You're fucking on Adderall." And I mean, I've been running the 3Ks without stopping.
Any confidence is it increased?
I think so. Do I look confident?
You seem confident. You're wearing, and I've learnt this only from you,
horizontal stripes.
And you're looking good.
Thank you.
So you're owning it.
I'm owning horizontal stripes.
If you were feeling frumpy, you wouldn't wear horizontal stripes.
Correct.
And thank you, Queer Eye, for the straight guy.
It's now
for
called
teaching Josh.
Queer Eye.
When you were watching it and you learnt that, was it Queer Eye for the straight guy?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah. Confidence is a funny thing because I find it's like fleeting. And I just thought then that if you have no confidence, getting I feel like confidence can compound. So like I thought about someone who's successful, someone who's had, you know, sold a bunch of businesses and now has a bunch of cash and feels like they're on top of the world and they've got barriers broken down. You know, I could do this again. I've done it 3 times.
Yeah.
The confidence that they would have versus a person that's just starting a business.
Yeah.
It's probably miles and worlds apart. And so it's grown, like you've been rewarded by your success and your confidence. But I also think it can be fleeting, like it goes. And so maybe someone who's sold a bunch of businesses, when their confidence goes or they feel like they've had a blow or they're just feeling a bit insular in their, you know, thinking and stuff, but when they come back, it will be higher.
Yeah.
Because their level, their tank of confidence is greater.
Well, I think that we level up confidence maybe. So, for instance, if you do a bigger event, like if you're emceeing events or whatever, the bigger events you do, the time you feel less confident. But after you do it, you then build a little bit more confidence. So, it's this like depletion and then fucking extending it. I mean, you seem like a pretty confident person, and as someone who's presenting, doing radio stuff, where do you think, like, how has your confidence changed?
I think my confidence, like when I'm doing more, I feel more confident. It's when I stop and become like over analytical on stuff and I am in my head thinking about doing, and then I get annoyed that I'm not doing, and then I feel like I've, you know, lost a bit of my confidence. But I feel quite confident at the moment. I said that to you today. Earlier today I said, I feel like I'm on a wave, and I had it as like a wave metaphor. It's like currently I'm surfing a good solid wave.
Yeah.
And I know shit can, I can fall off the board, but I feel pretty confident.
Yeah, I think that the, it's a mindset thing, which is going to affect. So I think the things that maybe aren't good for confidence is comparison.
I think cold sores.
Yeah, exactly.
Herpes on your face.
Or 10 kg more than you should
yeah,
have.
Yeah, true.
No, I think comparison is a fucking hard one, right?
Yeah.
Because we look at comparison and we say, okay, we trick ourselves by saying it's market research. Just fucking seeing what the market's doing. What's the fucking idiot across the road? What are they doing?
Yeah.
And then we start to fucking compare ourselves.
Yeah.
It's very hard. I think it's very hard to look at, you know, to look at yourself in a sort of a realistic way.
I'm sure you've had this. Had an idea. Fuck, this is the best idea. It could be a business. Could be a video idea.
Yeah.
And then you see someone who's done it and you're like, that confidence hit.
Yeah.
Because you'd painted it like
Amazon, I thought about.
And then, it just knocks, that rattles your confidence.
Yeah.
Well, someone, you can have your confidence rattled just from a comment from somebody. But what's the real difference between... Because I think, anything we're talking about, the opposite to someone without confidence is someone who's feeling confident and is having success. But it's like...
I guess it's confidence in what? Confidence has a bunch of... So it's confidence in... Because, and what's the difference between arrogance and confidence, do you think?
Well, maybe it's like a false sense that you actually have that skill. You're coming in confident to the field. You're coming in arrogant to the field. Or a fighter comes in being very arrogant. And I think that's a really clear way. The USC, there's a lot of arrogant dudes. And
hey, Siri,
they get fucking... And they get knocked out.
What's the definition...
Oh, fuck.
What's the definition of arrogance?
Arrogance means the quality of being arrogant.
The quality of being arrogant. Thanks for fucking nothing, Siri.
You're a fucking idiot.
Piece of shit.
But I think the fighter's a good thing. He didn't have the capability that he thought he did. And the other fighter came in, was confident.
So is that the only difference? But I think that you can be arrogant and still be very good at it. Too, right? So you could be super confident. So say a magician who's real fucking good, right? Just fucking knows how to do all these tricks.
Magician. Can we go something else? A magician isn't doing magic. It's not fucking magic.
No, but they're so fucking... They can be real arrogant about it like they are.
Okay. I get that.
What's the difference between a confident magician and an arrogant magician? I guess it's his tone or her tone.
Yeah.
Not many female magicians on another point. Anyway.
Yeah, because all the men are just fucking killing it and being weirdos. So many weird magicians as well. If you're a magician, maybe you're weird. But I've had some experience with weird magicians.
Yeah, what qualities? I've thought about magic, like doing more magic. Well, I like the idea of sleight of hand. I feel like that would be real handy.
What, being dodgy?
Yeah, just being able to be like fucking dropping things places and doing little fun. I like the idea of having a deck of cards and just being able to fucking fling it from one hand to another.
That's arrogance. You want to be seen as this sick cunt that can fucking tricks.
Yeah, maybe.
I think... Yeah, what do you think the difference between confidence and arrogance?
I don't know. I think that I think it's all in the fucking person. I think it's the exact same thing where people talk about, like the difference between like someone who's creepy and like super sweet is just whether you like them or not. It's probably the same thing. Where it's like if a guy like waits outside a chick's house and like singing songs.
Yeah.
If she likes him, that's really sweet.
But if she doesn't.
If she doesn't, it's real
super
fucking
creep.
Weird.
Do you think I come across as arrogant?
Probably not since maybe. I think arrogance is something that you can only. It seems more superficial in its diagnosis. So if someone's being arrogant, it's normally. I think there's always a negative. I don't think there's a good arrogance, is there? Because a good arrogance is confidence. So I think the only time, like, if there's maybe fake confidence is arrogance. Maybe if you feel like you're fucking really top dog, because confidence comes from I think realizing that you fucking lose a bunch of times, and then you're like, you know what, I'm confident in myself. That type of thing.
I think my confidence, I feel like I'm, I think my confidence is coming from this understanding that, and me being accepting of the fact that not everything I do is fucking great.
Yeah.
And I feel like that means that that it's like a great approach for me, which will get me the result of greatness. Is like I feel like I'm having more goes than I've ever in my life.
Yeah.
And I'm more okay with shit not being good or not being perfect.
What are your rules to life, do you think? I've been thinking about this more.
I told you not to leave with big questions.
Yeah, okay, that's true. And we did talk about that today. We were talking about like I tend to sometimes ask big questions.
No, but start with a big question and then give me some filtered questions.
So I'll filter it back. So for instance, I've been thinking about gossip or talking about people It's that classic thing of it's a own cliche, which is like, oh, you never feel good about, like, fucking big minds talk about ideas, small minds talk about people, which I get in theory when you're upset with some fucker because they're talking about you. In reality, like, I think that, like, given we are people, it makes sense that you talk about people as well. However, as a rule, I think it's a good quality. Like, how do you feel when you talk about, so, like, talk about someone in a negative sort of fucking...
You and I talk about a lot of other people, but not in a bad way. We like to actually dissect what other people are doing.
Yeah.
And I think if you were caught up in talking about other people with no other thought than being driven by the emotion that that person or their action has made you feel, oh, I'm fucking outraged. That person, you see that dickhead?
Yeah.
Versus, like, you see that dude, how fucking loose that motherfucker is?
Yeah.
What's he thinking? Like,
Well, this is the interesting thing, right? I was watching a video that, what was his name? The guy, the CEO of Patreon.
Dan, is it?
He did a great video for Casey Neistat to get, the other day, to get a meeting with Casey. It was...
And I thought he was a nobody, this guy. I'm like, watch this video.
How did you find it, by the way?
I just actually saw it in a suggested video.
Jack Conti is his name.
Jack Conti?
Yeah, so he did a video. Watch the video, Dear Casey Neistat, from the CEO of Patreon. Very good video. But I was watching...
So good.
Was watching one of his other videos, and it was like, it's called The Net... I think it's called
The Net.
He talks about your three realities. Google, if you have time, your three realities, right? Basically, what he's saying is how, I can't fucking remember all three. Like, there's your reality. There's the reality of, like, what a camera or an audio recording will capture.
Yeah.
And then there's the reality of the other person. Mm. And his point is you never know the third reality, and you can have a better understanding through communication if they're very good at communicating, but you will never understand that third reality. And so one of the interesting things that I was reflecting on is I think that I like to look at, analyze people and say, this is why they're doing what they're doing. Yeah. How often are we saying, like,
you know, that, I that actually person, it's one of the things I love asking you, what do you think they're doing?
Yeah, because I'll be like, I actually think that their mum hates them. And that because of that, they're now taking it out on this, this, and this. And they were bullied as a kid and now they're insecure.
Yeah.
It's that sort of shit, right?
Yeah, you have so much confidence in that area of working out why.
No fucking idea, right? it's literally like the people who watch air crash investigations and think that they're a fucking, like, they understand aviation. They're like, oh, the reason the fucking plane went down was because of the fucking velocity of the third wing, that sort of shit. So anyway, I do that. I think that's a bad quality of me.
You don't like it because I entertain it because I know you do that and I love asking
you
questions.
Well, I think that we do. I do get off a bit on it where I'm like, ah, fuck, I'm enjoying that this person is fucking deluded. They've got no idea what they're thinking, but I know that the reason that they're reacting the way they are is because they hate themselves. I think that's a bad quality.
Yeah. I think they're not all as brutal as that.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're just like, I love asking about what you think Casey Neistat's doing.
Yeah.
Because you always have a solid answer because you'd thought about it. I actually find this really funny.
Because we do talk about it a bit where it's like, yeah, anyone.
Have you noticed that I...
What do you ask? What questions do you think you ask?
So ask you always about, what do you think, what's Casey Neistat thinking with this stuff? Where's he going with it?
Yeah.
And I like, it's like, Dad, can you tell me a story?
Yeah.
I actually quite like your imagination of where...
Well, I think so, Casey, let's talk about Casey. If you don't know Casey Neistat, he's a vlogger.
One of the biggest YouTubers.
One of the biggest YouTubers. He had a business called Beam, bought by CNN, had some issues, left... Beam, he's now, what's the 368?
I don't know, the most original name for a business.
Because I can't remember it. But anyway, he's got this space. So yeah, you can get in and sort of start deconstructing and saying, okay, so he's had a lease on an office.
Yes.
And then this is why he's doing this thing. But I think that what we do when we talk about people and stuff like that, we are revealing our own insecurities in the sense, and I recognize that. And that's why I say, I'm like, the reason that they're doing this thing, I think, is because he needs to justify right now. Like he's from a PR point of view, he's finished his business.
Yeah.
And he needs to communicate to the world that he's like, he's got a fresh start. He's doing this thing and all that. Because that's what we would do, right? But for whatever reason, a lot of people hate the thing that they would do. Like if it's coming from a place of hate, it's normally because you can relate maybe.
What I love about his approach is I think that he's also, there's a massive level of I've got no fucking idea and I'm letting you in for the ride.
Mm-hmm.
It's the ethos of his filmmaking, right? It's like, turn the camera on. And the story will come.
Yeah.
And it's one approach. But, you know, that can also be a facade for thoughtfulness behind what you're doing and making it feel like that.
Well, I think that there can be... I think that the things that resonate with people is when the actions that someone takes is in line with the values that they're communicating. So, for instance, the one thing... and. This is why I don't like being a keyboard warrior or a fucking chair seat. What is it called? What's the one?
Quarterback.
Yeah.
Armchair quarterback.
Yeah. I don't like any of that stuff. But I think some of the things I think about with Casey is, and which I question myself, which is like he's got a big new space.
Yeah.
He's like over there, like we're going to be, I'm starting my podcast because now I can create a studio. And my initial reaction is like, well, you could create a podcast like with, you know, $100. And it was almost like what we were talking about yesterday, where we're talking about gear and what gear you need.
Yeah, yeah.
Reality is to do a podcast, all you need is a fucking iPhone.
Yeah, true.
Not even. So, I mean, I think that that's hard. But I think it's a shit quality. I think that it's... Yeah.
So you're saying it's a shit quality that you don't like?
I don't like that I've been reflective on it, and I think that it's...
You want me to stop asking you?
No, well, I think that I just want... What's going on? So I even have this thought with the podcast. So my concern is that I'm putting too many of my thoughts out into the world, and I, in a form which is quite raw... But I'm not synthesizing them properly.
Yeah.
So the difference between... It's almost like, in some regards, I'm just fucking giving you every... I'm just giving everyone everything without giving it the proper consideration.
Yeah. I also think there is... I feel the same, but I feel like it's synthesizing my thoughts as we go.
Yeah.
And it's like you saying writing down on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
Helps you get from what's in your head onto the page. Therefore, you start... constructing a solid idea or an opinion on something. One of the biggest things you've said is like, I don't really have an opinion on that.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you can go there if you choose to. You don't have to always pick a side. And some of these things that you say that to are big fucking topics, which I personally don't want to have an opinion on either, you know, on a public space. But it does help, like you talking about this stuff. I reckon over the last 62 episodes, I feel clearer on stances on certain things, or I feel like I know myself a bit better because I've talked it out with you. I said also earlier, it was like, I feel this podcast is, and making a podcast for anybody, what it actually helps you learn about yourself.
Well, I think, like, for instance, yesterday's episode, after finishing that, I felt a bit like, like that was a bit not like, do we start again? Do we do that again? And like, that is part of the, that's the insecurity, right? Mm. That's the game that we're playing. And it's realizing that other people, it's like, we've spoken about this in a previous episode when I did a YouTube video, that I knew I could have done a better job and you knew that I could do a better job too. And so you're fucking mad at me because you're like, fucking like, oh, like, you know what I'm capable of. And it's that internal voice that sort of fucking merges. But no, I think that it's, I do wonder, like, what is the, what's the end game for the things that we're doing?
Mm. But I don't think you can know.
Yeah, so and that's the thing, right? You either analysis paralysis, you don't fucking do anything because you're overanalyzing, so you're paralyzed by it, or you just start making and sort of working it out in the process. Is there a risk to that? I'm not sure.
Making it and working it out in the process.
Well, I think that sometimes, like maybe...
if you're not okay with failure, there's a massive risk of failing.
So, for instance, when is this podcast good enough for us to put it on our LinkedIn and not feel like we're going to get slammed?
I haven't really felt like that. I haven't put it up there. I've just been dabbling in LinkedIn. I'm happy to put that... I should put a video up. Fuck, you just reminded me.
Yeah, well, I just feel like there is that little bit of me which is like, mate, I don't know whether, you know, we've got our audience that listens to us and enjoys us, and I don't know how far it translates.
You know, to be honest, I'd be happy for us to get to 100 episodes of this podcast and fucking call it a day.
Yeah.
Seriously, like 100 of anything?
Yeah.
You know how much? 100 times by 30 minutes... It's 3,000 minutes of talking. Where we've come in 3,000 minutes of talking is exceptional.
Yeah.
And
then it's working out like the next iteration, right? Because then it means that it's like you've oiled up whatever it is to do the next thing.
Mm.
I do wonder, it's almost like the dip, which is Seth Godin's theory and book, which is like you get to a point...
Mm.
And so say it's that 100 episodes, maybe that's the dip. Maybe it's when we're like not seeing any growth, like we've had the same amount of audience for the last 50 episodes, whatever it is. And so we stop. However, the 110th episode is when things fucking go bang.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think that that's definitely the, you know, when is the last? When is the last Seinfeld? When's the right time to do the last Seinfeld episode? When's the last time? I remember
when he made his billionth dollar.
Well, like Rove Live. I remember when Rove was a thing and just being like, when that ended, it was a big deal.
Yeah.
And that when Hamish and Andy decided to finish the radio show, like all of these things, John Farnham decided to leave for the seventh time at, you know, his career. You know, like,
yeah, totally. It's, well, I think fucking I want to make more videos and I feel like this gets in the way of that, but maybe it doesn't. I reckon I've created more videos this year than I did last year.
Yeah.
And I've also done 62 episodes of a podcast.
Yeah.
So I know the excuse of this is getting in the way of videos is bullshit, because I'm more creative in my mind and, you know, and the skills I'm getting from talking on a podcast is a lot.
And because it's like, what would you do if you weren't doing this, right? The thing is, like, this is what this is probably eating into right now for me is just lazing time. I'll just be lazing around. And so, and it's the difficulty. It is that thing of like, it's like running, because, you know, I'm a runner now. So it's
3 days
like,
in, 3 days in, 3 Ks a day.
It's the whole thing where it's like when I'm running, it's like it's a little bit painful, it's a little bit annoying, but I'm like, if I actually, it's only 20 minutes of my life, and so why do we think about what you would give? Like, if I look at my phone right now, and I look at the last 24 hours, I can tell you how much time I have spent on different apps, right? And so if we purely look at that, and then it really should put in perspective some of those other things, right? Like going to my battery, here we go, battery usage. Last 24 hours, I have spent 1.2 hours on Instagram. In the last 7 days, I've spent 6.9 hours. So basically an hour every day on the fucking app. I've spent, in the last 7 days, I've spent over 9 hours on my phone. Sorry, on the phone, like calling people. So you look at all these things.
Dude, Instagram for me, last 24 hours, 24 minutes.
That's good.
What was yours? An hour and a half?
An hour and... 1.2.
My biggest one was email, 27 minutes.
YouTube, in the last 24 hours?
Yeah. YouTube, 24 minutes. Phone, 1.1 hours I've spent on the phone.
Yeah. Go to your last 7 days. Everyone, if you just go into the battery section of your iPhone, it tells you all these details under battery use.
4 hours in the last 7 days on Instagram.
Fuck. And I've spent 7 hours.
Wow.
I'm nearly spending double the amount of time.
And then YouTube? What do you got on YouTube?
I hardly use my phone for YouTube.
What's the next thing?
The next thing for me is phone at 9 hours. And then it goes down to fucking like Chrome, which is only 1.3 hours, 1 hour on my email, 25 minutes on Google Maps.
You're Facebook, a beast.
Facebook gets fucking hardly any time, really. How much time do you get 1.3. on Facebook? 1.3 in the last 7 days?
Yeah.
Mine's 54 minutes. Spending less time on Facebook than you are.
Fuck.
Facebook can go fuck itself.
You get an issue.
Instagram, that's
I'd
a lot.
I'd love to see an a hour 16-year-old's a day, phone.
An hour. Well, we can ask Lucy.
Oh, yeah. Good idea.
Fuck. Because Lucy's so full on. That's your 16-year-old work experience kid. She's so full on that if I follow her on Instagram, if she's doing something, if she's going to a movie, she'll do like an Instagram story saying, hey guys, sorry, I won't be able to DM back for the next hour.
I don't think it's not full on in their world. It's not full on in the 16-year-old world at the moment.
You have to be so fucking contactable.
It's connected. It's hyper connection.
The interesting thing, and we can explore this on a future app, but the thing that seems to be really making the making the rounds at the moment is we're so connected, but we're lonelier than ever. Mm. Why? Anyway, I'll leave you on that, everyone. It's a daily talk show, a little bit more energy this time than yesterday. Feel free to leave us a review on iTunes through the podcast app, or send us an email, hi@thedailytalkshow.com, or even send us some snail mail, PO Box 400, Abbotsford, Victoria 30067. The jerky is going well, thank you.
If $500 got sent to the PO Box,
mm-hmm.
would you split it?
Yes.
It's good.
400 to me, 100 to you. PO Box costs money. Thanks, everyone.
I didn't specify how the split went.
That's right. You fucked up.